Billy. In the garbage. Right into the freaking garbage.
You see that crap? All that horror crap? Things coming out of crates. People. Dead people coming back to life. People turning into weeds, for Christ's sake. I never saw such rotten crap in my life. Where do you get this shit? Who sells it? All that horror crap?
Hello, Skype. Oh, how are you? I'm okay.
Thank you,
Skypey.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this very special episode of DWN's Terrible Horror Crap Podcast, sponsored by Fast Custom Shirts. For the last time on the Horrorphilia Podcast Network. But remember, you can go to boygod.com to keep listening. New episodes will go up weekly, Mondays. Not today, because it doesn't work that way in the long December. But every Monday, God willing, we'll have a new episode up at boygod.com. Join the other two subscribers on Podcast Addict and go to boygob.com and download it to your feed.
Our goal in 2021 is to double our number of subscribers.
Well, I was going to say seven.
Nah, I think double is more realistic.
Well, you know, I'm just like aiming a little higher.
That's pretty high. That's pretty high. But the thing is, we're probably not going to release them on Mondays because it's going to be 2021 and everybody's, fuck you, 2020, we're ready to get out of 2020, even though it's going to be more of the fucking same. People are acting like shit's going to open up immediately and all that. You're all dumb, except for our two subscribers. Y'all are smarties.
But I like the listeners, too. So, hey, guys, thanks for listening. Make sure you spread that boy gob around so we can get some more people to listen.
I'm glad to see all those stickers on your cars lately. You know, I've been driving around. It's, hey, look, boy gob right there. Mm. Yeah, that's nice.
It's good. It's when you drive past a car that has a boy gob sticker, you throw cum at them. And that'll let you know that, oh, man, they're a listener, too. Mm. So if we can get our listeners just to start lobbing cum at each other, that would be great.
It would be.
But never at us.
No.
Never at us.
No. We're in the slow lane anyway. Yep.
That's how we're talking, at least. Hey, Joe, you like whiskey?
I've been known to drink whiskey a time or two.
Ooh, you gonna get some slow and low whiskey?
Slow and low. And those guys sure do pay attention to their posts, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Mm. But yeah, the old Horrorphilia Podcast Network. It's been 6 years. Maybe about five and a half for you. Maybe a little longer than that, because you did jump aboard pretty early on. But thank you, Jason, for allowing us to come here and just say filthy, filthy, awful things, just in the vein of trying to get people to laugh. Just trying to get people laugh.
Jason, appreciate all you did. I was glad to meet you last year. Thanks for those anthology links. We were the anthology guys.
said in the whole time that he ran the podcast, you were the only one that he's met.
Yeah, that's what he told me. Well, that's kind of odd, isn't it?
So when it comes out, he has a bunch of bodies. I'm not going to be surprised. Like, oh, that's why.
Yeah. Now I'll have that picture with the serial killers.
Right. Man, with the seeds.
Yep.
Yeah. You definitely didn't have to do it up until, oh, I don't know, when was it, June-ish, July-ish? Jason did pretty much all the work of uploading all the episodes and doing all the text and putting it on the website. I had no idea. If I knew, like, honestly, if I knew it was this easy, I would have done it a while ago.
Yeah, and I don't know if he gets, like, screeners and links, but man, he watches a lot of garbage, God bless him. And, you know, we watch shit, we watch, you know, crap, but man, that guy, he takes it to another level.
But he tends to like most of it.
Right, he seems to enjoy, but you know, 7 out of 10, what?
Yeah, everything's a 7.5, well, I didn't care for it that much, 6.
Yeah. I guess that's how you keep getting screeners, but no, we fucking say something nice about an independent movie and we're assholes all of a sudden.
Sounds like we were paid! No, that definitely didn't happen.
Mm-mm.
Or did it?
Weep.
We'll talk about that if their movie about people getting paid for reviews ever comes out. But yeah, I mean, what could be said? I hope, Married with Children, they finished all their episodes before this ended. So, I mean, how long could they go? Oh, well, we did all the episodes. Now let's go back and review our old episodes, talking about each episode. So hopefully they were able to finish their thing up and wrap it all up. But, yeah, that used to be our go-to joke.
Yeah, we don't have that anymore. We got to think of something else. But,
Yeah, we gotta start our own network and just invite somebody on here just so we can make fun of them. It's gonna turn out, though, they're gonna get way more listeners than we do. They'll get
probably
like 11.
That's pretty much a given. Yeah.
But yeah, if you wanna keep listening, like I said, go to voigob.com. Hopefully this feed, if you're listening on the Horrorphilia feed, will switch over to the Voigob feed or whatever. But if you need updates, go to the Facebook page, DWN's Terrible Horror Crap Podcast. Updates are there. Give movies away. Voigob.com, you can find the audio there, download it, stream it from there, or subscribe. You can get the RSS feed, put it in your podcast app, or put it in your ass. And if there's any information, it'll be up there. I think all Jason has to do is like switch something over, and then we should have the feed, but I'm not sure how it works. So if not, we'll start a whole new iTunes feed and stuff like that for the boygob.com page. Just remember boygob.com and you'll be able to listen every Monday or Tuesday if JJ happens to poke his head around. So keep an eye on that Facebook page too.
And don't forget about our YouTube page. Go ahead and go subscribe to that. That I might
tomorrow make videos for our top and bottom movies of 2020 and throw them up there. Hopefully that'll push a little people to boygob.com. But no, it'll probably just get like 2 subscribers on the YouTube page. I'm thinking we're going to put up more videos. Nope. You'll be lucky if you get these that I'm talking about that'll never go up.
Right, and then all the shit I've talked about recording and then never do, because I don't bring my iPad home, and my speaker on my phone sucks, so I can't record on that.
Hey, what happened to that Christmas thing you guys said? I didn't want to anymore and just got on Facebook Live for 8 minutes and gave a few movies away. I don't know if anybody took them, but if you go over to the old Facebook page, there's a video on there with a few codes for some movies.
Folks gotta understand, we're drunk most of the time when we record this shit, alright?
Yeah, and I mean, this is planned out every week, so we know the time. Other times it's just like, it gets rather than working all day, I don't want to do this now.
Exactly. Speaking of working all day, how was your Christmas, Tom?
It was all right. I guess it was cool. It was like every other year. Me, Lori, my mom, Katie, and Ty, we just got together, ate foodstuffs, and then went over by Lori's parents, hung around for a little bit, and that was about it. I woke up super early, so I said, let me go stroll in the shop for a couple hours, pour some molds, tidy some things up. It wasn't that bad. Watched little Steve Harvey. They didn't play a Christmas episode, though, so that was kind of fucked. But I did fucking happen to peek my head in when the Walker Texas Ranger Christmas special was coming on, and all I hear when I walk in, Chuck Norris is like, "And they followed the star to Bethlehem. Bethlehem, Texas." And I said, "All right, I'm out of here." Shot myself in the head and fell in the garbage can. How was yours?
It was good. I went down to Corpus, got to see family. Haven't had much of an opportunity to do that because, you know, we've got social distancing and COVIDs and the like. You know, wearing masks and
like, you don't adhere to any of that.
Shutting down stuff and not having money to go anywhere. You know. So that was cool, but I spent 4 days, I think, there at my parents, not really doing anything, and fuck, does that get you tired, you know, sitting around doing nothing, like, wears you out, you just feel like, fuck, I need to sleep. So, yeah, I was eager to get back and get into the shop and do some shit. I freak out if I'm not working. You know, if I'm not doing something in the shop, being productive. I also know I'm not making any money if I'm not working, you know? We're small business.
How weird this year you haven't been working?
Well, yeah, probably. Yeah. Just fucking designing shit I know people aren't going to buy or don't have money to buy anyway. So, you know. But no, it was a good time. It was good to see the grandkid crawling around and shit, you know, talking shit to me in his little baby talk, you know.
What did that sound like?
Hey, nah.
What?
What?
That almost sounded racist.
Yeah, well, you know. Corpus can be kind of racist.
Oh, no. Yeah, I think I got about a day and a half that I'm not in the shop, that I'm just like, alright, I gotta go fucking do something.
Yeah, so how do you do it when you go on your trips, your extended excursion to Chicago and all that?
Yeah, it's kind of fucked. Sometimes I'll bring a little bit of clay with me, some sculpting tools. Nothing really ever comes of it, but I can just knead it around in my hands and fuck with it.
How does the trip go? How long does it take you to get there? Because, like, you've got the bladder of a little girl, man. You fucking, like you're going to take 10 piss breaks in the middle of this show.
Well, I mean, I'm not drinking on the road. Here, I mean, I'm just steady drinking.
Yeah, but, you know, you're knocking back the Faygos as you drive.
Not really. Not really. I have, like, about one bottle of pop that'll last me the trip. Or that for the day, I should say. And I try to only stop for food once, and that'll be on one of the gas things. I just try and get there, get as much done there as I can. Sometimes I get it all done in one day. Other times I'll stop like 4 to 2 hours outside and be like, hey, I'll just wake up early and finish this in the morning. So it's all just how I feels.
You know, as Tom said last week, this is going to be our year-end show, so we're going to give our top tens, and I was really, like, saying, hey, man, there's, like, 4 or 5 movies I still want to watch, you know, before, you know, 2020 movies, before we do this. I don't know, I was going to ask you to push it back to next week, but then as I'm watching more movies, you know, they're just like, fuck it, you know, these movies are just very average. So there's really no need to push it back. I don't think anything else I was going to watch was going to, like, change or make my list or anything like that. Just a fucking weird year for movies.
Yeah, if you didn't have any interest in Soul or Wonder Woman, I don't think there was any.
Yeah, I mean, like, I didn't rush out to see the first movie. I thought it was average. That's another one that people praised the fuck out of, and I just
thought... What, the first Soul?
The first Wonder Woman
movie. Oh, I see.
And Soul, I mean, it's a good beer. You know, I like it, but... Oh, you're talking about that Disney movie.
Yeah, not Soul. The Sun God.
Soul. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, me neither. Hope everybody enjoyed their 2020.
Mm-hmm.
What are we looking? Hey, Joe. Remember when we were talking about, oh, I don't give a fuck. Vinegar Syndrome DVD, I'll sell them anyway. I'll buy whatever I've been drinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just sent a bunch of them out in the mail. I got like $120 bucks.
Well, there you go.
Am I right? One of those movies that I watched once and directly put up for sale was Dial Code Santa Claus. I've been wanting to watch this one for a couple years. It was going to be a shitfest movie. And because it was in French, I'm always just like, you know, we can, but we're going to be drinking. And I'd rather not have a shitfest movie in French. So I was hoping you were going to go, when I say, hey, what does the baby conversation sounds like? Because that's what I was thinking the whole time these were talking. It's just like a fucking movie and baby talk. You know, we talked about it before. Not a fan when they kill the dog. Especially when it's gratuitous and they just stay on it. You know, like those, they're not even knives, but they're like cake serving triangle things that aren't sharp at all.
I don't even know what those are called, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
So they had a metal one of those, the dog's attacking the killer Santa, and the Santa just puts it down and roar! You see it go through the dog, and then he keeps stabbing it. So I was like, alright, you fucking lost me. And that was about 20 minutes in. And then not really anything spectacular happens. It's like this little rich...
Hold on, let me say something real quick. If you serve your cake with one of those things, you're an asshole.
Oh, well, okay. we're gonna get to that right now.
Alright.
So the movie's about a rich kid whose mom owns a toy company or a department store or anything. So this little idiot lives in a castle with his mom and his fucking diabetic skinny grandpa or something. Like, his vision's all fucked up to the point where he is more than legally blind and shouldn't be held responsible to look after a kid when the mom goes to work.
It's Mr. Magoo.
A little more than that. He's kind of happier and kind of there sometimes when he has his eye pills. But, so...
Oh, I can use some of those.
You see this hobo. I don't know if he's a hobo. He's just a shifty-looking character. Like, in the streets, he comes across a bunch of French kids playing... Fuck, you don't have to say they're French kids, but they are. For a bunch of French kids snowball fighting in the street. So he's just like, oh, yeah, I'm gonna snowball fight with the kids. And he tries playing. He's like, ugh, what's with this fucking creep? And they all run away. And then he gets hired as a Santa at this... at the store that the mom works at.
The guy that's snowballing the kids.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
So, like, a little girl sits on his lap, and she's like, you're on that. No, she said, oh, wee-shoo-wee-shoo-woo-shoo-woo-woo. But the subtitle says, you are not the real Santa Claus. And he pulls down his beard, and he goes, oh, just smacks the fuck out of her. I laugh so hard. And then everything was downhill from there. He gets fired for smacking the kid, And then he says, oh, I'll show you. I'm going to go murder your family. So he dresses up like Santa Claus and stalks this kid and his grandpa in the mansion. And they kill the dog like that. And then like an hour later, the kid's like, yeah, I'm going to get my revenge now. And I'm hoping it was a fake dog. But he's carrying this dead dog with its tongue hanging out, just crying. And this song in the background plays like, why does a boy have to cry to become a man? And it's just him burying his dog in the basement. And then, like, the Santa doesn't really get his comeuppance. The dog definitely got it the worst out of anybody in the fucking movie. Santa just kind of gets shot, and it's not like a great head explosion or his guts burst out, you know, like after something like that, you need a payoff. Like, yeah, you fucking got him. This right in the fucking Versailles bin. Fuck you.
And that's Eight Crazy Nights.
No, that's a Hanukkah movie. This was a French Christmas movie.
Okay.
It was Deadly Games, Dial Code Santa Claus, or 376 North Pole or something like that. I guess it was recently featured on Blowjob Briggs' Christmas Spooktacular or whatever the fuck.
So it found new life, thanks to Blowjob Briggs.
I guess, and Vinegar Syndrome, too. It was like their 4K release. I think this shit was like $35.
4K. Why would you fucking put a movie like that on?
It looks nice. I'll say that. Joe, it looks nice and it's shot so well. I'll give it that. Like that and him slapping the fuck out of that little girl.
You're telling me the streets of Paris look nice?
Paris. Gay Paris.
Yeah. Snowballing.
No, it looked good, and, like, this guy's house castle looked real cool. Like, it looked cool and shit. And their thing was like, oh, they saw this and then made Home Alone. It was like, fuck you. The Home Alone shit's barely in the movie, and when it is, it sucks. But the movie sucks. Like, if it had a payoff, like, fucking, because it has this little kid on the cover. He's like holding these guns and he has like a bandolier and shit. He's dressed up like Rambo. It's all toys and shit. Like if he just had a fucking AK-47 or a rocket launcher at the end, he was just like, wee wee Santa Claus, and just blew the motherfucker up. He's like, oh yeah, alright, fucking got him. Yeah. But no, it was some weak shit for sure. It was just one of these. Oh! So, yeah, definitely, that them killing the dog and it looking so realistic and shit, that really hurt it. You know, some people don't give a fuck about killing the dogs in the movies.
They don't.
I'm not a fan. I mean, Grindhouse, they did it, that and Planet Terror, and that's my favorite horror movie. So, I mean, it could work. I mean, I would rather that not be in there and him and his dog live happily ever after, but sometimes it doesn't have. Now, fuck you. Dial code, fuck you.
Hey, Tom, you're a fan of the Thor movies, right?
No.
Alright, well, I watched Extraction. I guess when he's not, Thor, he's Donald Blake, mercenary. This is a movie, like many other movies, where a guy is hired to rescue a kid from drug lords. And, it's got some weird fucking action in it. You know this trend in action movies or action TV shows where, like, they're gonna do, like, this, like one shot thing through the whole action scene, but it's not a one shot thing, you know, they just kind of splice it together somehow.
Like,
but
the new movie.
Yeah. So that's how this big fucking like 20 minute scene here, it's like that. It's like a video game, and it, to me, it just looks shitty. It looked really shitty. this movie's okay, but like a lot of these movies where the action hero is saving the kid and him and the kid form a bond, I always think, man, this guy wants to fuck this kid. You know, it's like, I got that in this, I got that in like Man on Fire and just about, well, Leon, but yeah, that one was pretty overt. They weren't, you know, they pretty much said that's the case here, but these movies, they just, yeah, this guy doesn't want to just save this kid, he wants to fuck him.
Iron Man 3,
yeah.
Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah, The Winter Soldier. all that shit. It's just, I don't know, it just kind of bothers me, Tom. Extraction.
The elections you get.
It's worth a watch. It's on a lot of people's top 10 lists, you know? It's like, oh, this is the best action movie of the year. Well, fuck, I guess it's a shitty year for action. Because it didn't make my list.
Can't wait to hear it in an honorable mention. Then.
I wouldn't be talking about it if it was in my honorable mentions. I made a point of that. I only have 2 honorable mentions, Tom.
Wish you'd take this more seriously.
Yeah, I wish this year would have, you know, taken movies more seriously.
You know, if you're a Chicagoan or a Chicagolander,
you're a dick.
The Bears pick up Kronos.
Sweet home, Chicago.
Baby, don't you want to blow? You hear Kronos, you probably think of an 80s looking hooker in a white sweater on a sun bleach poster holding up a gyro. Because we all know Kronos gyros are the best.
No, I've never heard of Kronos gyros, but
well, you're not a Chicagoan or like, a Chicagolander.
Makes me think little clockwork beetles.
It does. Makes me think of, oh, so this is why they had him do the Golden Army. I understand. Have you ever seen Kronos?
I have seen Kronos.
It's okay.
It's alright.
It's a vampire movie, I guess.
Sorta, yeah.
Guillermo del Toro loves little girls with that specific look. And he loves picturing what those little girls would look like grown up as deaf ladies who whack off in bathtubs. Definitely has a look of girls to women.
Yeah, he does.
That he likes.
You're right.
It was okay as far as vampire movies go. It was pretty good. That being said, I'm not a vampire movie fan. Ron Perlman has a big face as always, so there's that. If only him and Robert Zadar could have been in a movie together, Battle of the Beasts or something like that. what could be said about this?
I saw this way, way back, so I don't really remember it all that well, but I remember thinking Ron Perlman sucked in it.
It's like Ron Perlman, his uncle is dying, so he gives him one of these many, many statues he has to give to an antique owner, and then the antique owner gets the statue, and it has a little pocket watch beetle in it. And the beetle turns him into a vampire. And then he said, oh, wait, he wasn't supposed to have that one. Go retrieve it, hell baby. And then he tries to. He says, no, I'm a vampire now. It was weird. It's like, well, why are you giving this shit away in the first place? I didn't understand that.
But is Ron Perlman like a mobster or some shit in it?
He works for the uncle who's dying. And I guess the uncle's trying to find, like, a cure for his dying. and it's vampirism. Mm-hmm. Like, if you had this stuff already, why did you give it away? Just to say, hey, go get it back. But then again, I'm not fluent in Espanol. But there was some English in it, which was nice. They tricked me at the beginning. It was all in English, and then they started speaking Espanol, and I said, ooh, you wascally rabbit.
They tricked you.
But I know enough Spanish to get by.
You always get tricked.
Taco Cabana. It's one of the better Guillermo del Toro movies I've seen. I'll probably watch it one more time, and then that'll go into the for sale bin.
Cool. I'll see if it's there in January.
They had, like, I'd always hear and see a couple pictures of his, like, second house he has, with his collection in it. Besides the life-size Samuel they probably built him, or the one they just gave him from the movie. I've seen much better collections. I'm not into this stuff that you are, so not you, but him. It's like, well, now you're going to come into my fairy tale room. I'm good.
I don't know. He's got a lot of the Universal stuff, and then he's got like the life-size fucking replicas of people and shit. Like, I think
he
has
the. Any of that. He didn't show any of that.
I think he has like the Karloff, like a reproduction of, you know, where Karloff's sitting on the makeup chair.
Yeah, no, I get it. This is from 10 years ago.
Okay.
And what they showed, it was just like, yeah.
Well, he's just building his collection, you know. Just wait till the next treat that they do, and he shows his Room of Forever faces.
Can't wait.
He's probably trying to sell them though on the page.
Let's hope so. I said, can you sign it? No.
Yeah. No.
$50, mijo. And a cheeseburger. Torta y queso.
I don't like tortas, man. It's just that's right. No, I'll just go Chlotskys. I like their bread better.
Not I, said the Tom. What'd you watch, Joe?
I just finished watching The Invisible Man 2020. Oh, man.
Love that one.
This is about a lady who's lives a fabulously rich life, but her husband's very controlling because he's fabulously rich. And that's what fabulously rich men do. And she's got it good, I think, because she's not very pretty. You know, she's not pretty at all. But she busts out of there and says, hey, I'm done with this life. Goes and hides out for a while. Leaves the dog behind. Well, no, I'm sorry. Releases it from its shock collar, but doesn't help it get over the wall that she climbs over to get out of the estate. Just kind of leaves it there.
Luckily, that dog was born with thumbs.
Yeah. 2 weeks later, she's been hiding out with some black cop and his daughter. How this happens, I don't know, but she gets a letter saying, hey, your husband's dead. He's not dead, Tom. He's invisible.
No, he's not. He's in a robot camera suit thing.
He made an invisible suit, you know, that bends light. And he does, like, evil shit. Like, she's cooking breakfast, walks away for a little bit, and turns on the fucking heat to where the bacon burns. You know, just catches fire and shit. That's hardcore shit, man. You know, and she's like telling everybody, oh no, it's not, you know, it's not me, it's my husband that burned the bacon. And you know, people don't believe her, so they throw her in an asylum, and then she goes and kills her husband
with a ham.
Yeah. And I guess she steals that suit, invisible suit, so she can go and do crimes in the sequel or whatever.
The Invisible Woman?
Yes.
You ever see that one?
The Incredible Invisible Woman?
I think it's just called The Invisible Woman.
No, I haven't.
It's a black and white movie?
This is not good, Tom. This is just kind of like, fuck. I wish this guy would kill her already, man. You can do better. You know, you can find a woman that's going to appreciate you and marvel at this invisible suit that you made and take care of the dog. Because there's a scene when she goes back to the house and discovers that invisible suit that bends light, and the dog's there, and she still doesn't take the fucking dog with her. In the final scene, she does, but by then it's like, Nah, she's just gonna end up losing this dog. You know, she's gonna like let it out, and then she's gonna go outside, and it's gonna be gone. She's gonna say, "Oh no, he's still here. He's just invisible." Oh man, this chick. I don't know. Fuck this movie.
What do you got on your shirt there, Joe?
The Marvel Universe. You know, I'm a fan. I worked a lot, and I was gonna be getting messy, so.
I understand.
I wear my shit shirts.
So it sounds like you didn't care for this movie much.
No, I didn't.
Can't wait to hear it as an honorable mention.
This is it's on a lot of top tens, Tom, but not on mine.
Well, it was that time of year again, so I pulled out my dick and watched my favorite Christmas movie, Jack Frost. You remember this one?
I do.
Old Jack Frost. We talked about it last year and last week. I love it. That kid is still way too old to be fucking stupid enough to put antifreeze in his dad's brownies. Again, the kid's like 12. That should have been like a thing a kid half his age did. It was like a little cute thing. Tee-hee, I made you brownies to keep you warm. Not, hey, Pops. Here's some antifreeze brownies, dog. I'm getting pubic hairs now. So besides that always gets me now is... This kid fucking retarded. It's a pretty good movie. It could have been better with some, like, showing more of the kills and some better gore. But for what it is, it's pretty good.
Listen, they were going for that PG-13 rating.
No, they weren't. They were going to make, like, a happy, funny... Christmas horror movie, and they specifically didn't want it to be to her. But this is a good example of seeing no matter how well a horror movie does, the sequel is definitely going to be cheaper and they're going to want more from it. And that's a shame that they never made a third one too, because even if it was cheaper, I'd still watch and love it. They made 3 or 4 of those fucking Scarecrow movies. Telling me they couldn't make 3 Jack Frost movies? Coming next year from Shudder, Jack Frost 3, Airborne. This time, Jack's on a plane. Sure hope not.
There's an option
between no more Jack Frost movies or a new Jack Frost movies on Shudder. Alright, let's just... that'd be better. I'll go with it. On Hulu. Just don't they have the contract with them?
Yes.
Yeah, so here you go.
I almost watched a movie called Money Plane. That was
The Beast and Edge.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
I almost heard that was pretty today. Funny.
Yeah. I'll probably watch it this coming week. Like I said, there's some plenty of 2020 movies I still want to watch. There's one about the kid that that becomes a wrestler, gets like super strength and becomes a wrestler.
On Netflix.
I'm gonna watch that tomorrow.
All right, I got it on my list. I'll
on your
I'll
best
get
of
on it this week.
Yeah.
No, on my cue or my Cooey.
My Cooey.
What is it? The main event or something?
Yeah, I think so.
He's a little black kid.
Yeah.
Mask.
Representation, baby.
Baby! But I think it is a WWF movie, too.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Alright, so we're going to see some megastars pop up.
Yeah, there'll be a couple who are no longer with the company who got furloughed because of the coronavirus.
Or no longer with us. Rest in peace.
Sitting in the ghetto thinking about how one day I'll buy Reebok. Shout out to Master P for being a fucking baller. Is it me now?
That's
you?
All I watched.
I watched a movie.
I spent time with family. I'm not watching fucking movies.
Sorry.
Yeah. So what'd you watch, Tom?
You watched something in Spanish you didn't understand. I know. But I watched Blood Games. Talked about this last week, how I got this movie where it's a fraud holding a baseball bat like a cock. I watched it. It's fucking great. You'll love this movie, Joe. You won't just like it. You'll fucking love it. And you'll probably remember, like, oh, I did see this. And I tugged my little wiener to it a few times when I was a child. But not a child, probably in your 40s, because this came out in the 90s.
Well, I'll buy it from you when I see you in January.
Oh, I'm not keeping this one.
What?
So far, this is 1 out of 4 from Vinegar Syndrome. No, this one was great. This is what Andy Sedaris movies should have been. Instead of being like, oh, these are just going to be these gentle, we're going to touch each other with the back of our hands, sensual movies. But no, this is smacking bitches around and murdering them and shit and like good squibs and stuff.
Is Julie K. Smith in it?
She is not.
Yeah.
This is a bunch of who? Who is this? I guess this was like an Israeli company came to America to make this movie.
And it was directed.
This was directed by a woman, which was shocking. She has to be a lesbian. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but
nothing wrong with that at all. Yeah. Is there somebody movie. Likes Wonder Woman movie?
Seen a post today and I was like, who the fuck is saying this? Oh, okay, that makes sense. But yeah, Blood Games is fucking great. You will love it. Like, you're a fan of Savage Streets, obviously. Look at you. This somehow seems sleazier than Savage Streets.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was good, fun stuff. And then the rape happened. And then that was over with, and it got fun again. It's like, all right, guys, party back on. It was definitely good stuff, and I had a good, fun time with it. If only these fucking Andy Sedaris movies were like these, we would have had, like, 12 weeks. Oh, man, this movie was awesome. Not just...
Well, we don't pick good shit for our retrospectives or whatever the fuck we're calling them. But we'll get to that.
Hey, Joe. Are you ready to masturbate with the masters of horror? Question mark?
I guess so. John Landis, a master of horror,
murder,
they say. So, what horror movies did he do?
I don't think there was any.
Right.
The American Werewolf had horror elements.
Because he does comedy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would classify that as a comedy. I like it, you know, but I like it
I mean, American Werewolf in London's good. Blues Brothers is good.
That's a good comedy.
What else did he do that was good? Nothing?
Innocent Blood is good. It's a comedy, you know. Has that guy Brian Benben in it, but we'll get to him.
What a shitty name. You got 3 first names, you fuck. What's your middle name?
Twilight Zone, the movie, you know, you gotta have a sacrifice to make a good movie, and they fucking gave all. Some gave all.
Sure.
Dear Woman.
D-E-A-R Woman, comma.
Dear Woman. So, yeah, again, he's trying to do his little comedy bit. Well, Brian Benben is a cop that's been booted down to animal cases or something. So that's all he does is animal cases, like dog bites or, you know, people murdering dogs or, you know, Santa Claus's, you know, spatulating a dog.
Oh, wait, this isn't one of those fancy realistic cakes?
Yeah. Yeah, and then I guess it starts with a murder, right? A murder at a truck stop or some shit. And, like, there's
a bar with some of the best acting drunks I've ever seen.
Yeah. It's very Canadian. Very Canadian.
Next to fucking people not smoking, who they say, all right, we're going to have you smoke in this scene. Getting people to act drunk who have never been drunk before fucking sucks.
Yeah, some lumberjack trucker or something picks up some slag at the bar, takes her to his truck, and then she kills
him. Not just any slag, but this girl.
Yeah. Native American girl that doesn't say anything, just smiles and nods her head. She is pretty, but she's a dear woman. Brian Ben's called on the case. He thinks something's fishy. He's partnered up with some street cop, and
I don't think he's a street cop.
I don't even think he's a cop.
Fucking racist.
I don't know.
See, it's hard to get mad at this one, because there's a line in it where they go to a fucking casino, a Native American casino, and John Redcorn overhears them talking about a case, and he's like, hey, this sounds like the Deer Woman. What? What's the Deer Woman? You tell us all about her. Oh, you know, it's a pretty girl who wears the legs of a deer, and she sees you at a party. She'll take you and go back and almost have sex with you and kill you. But why? Why does it happen? Oh, why do you have to worry about why it happens? That doesn't matter. It just happens. Don't worry about that. So when that's your explanation to why anything is going, just, oh, don't worry about it, fucker. Just watch this shit that no one gives any fucks about. It's like, how can you get mad at it? They don't care. Why should I fucking care? Mick Garris is in the background like, hee hee, I won the slot machine.
I gotta say, I like the scenes. Three scenes where Brian Ben
is laying in the bed thinking about what's gonna happen.
And reconstructing the scenes of the murders. I thought those were stupid.
Yeah, that felt like the best trauma movie ever made.
Yeah, because right afterwards, he stops and he's like, that's stupid. You know, I just thought that was funny. Hey, yeah, alright, man.
Like, it's hard to get mad at it when it's saying, yeah, this sucks, it's stupid, it doesn't matter. I'm here because the maker gave me some money and said I didn't have to do shit.
Mm-hmm. I think had this not been classified as a master horror entry, I might like it a little bit more. But no, I just...
This one really made me think, like, yeah, this is definitely a TV show made for TV thing. But if anything good came out of it, a father and a son got to work together to make something. So there's that, at least. You
know, Max Landis.
Maxi boy.
Yep.
Maxi pad.
Who would go on to, I don't think he's doing nothing now. You know,
all I know from him in this. So an internet review show and Masters of Horror is what I know about MaxiPad Landis.
Yeah, so again, and this was what, episode 7?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
So
we're over the hump, so that's
all good. This shit, you know, so like we said, good memories, they're fucking being diminished.
I didn't say that, you did.
Yeah, but next week is the one everybody's telling us, oh no, but Cigarette Burns was great. Oh, Cigarette Burns, oh fuck yeah, that one. We'll see. Yeah, we'll see, motherfuckers.
I remember liking it just because I thought I had to, because it was John Carpenter, and thinking it was really dumb.
I never
like
felt
the heroin-looking guy from Walking Dead. I don't give a fuck about him. And or whatever. I don't give a fuck. Then we're just going to have that angel guy at the end looking like he fucking crawled out of Dogma or some shit.
Looking sad.
My wings hurt, mijo.
Where's the Deer Woman?
But yeah, all that said, so far, just on the episodes we watched, this is my number 2, right behind Incident on and Off a Mountain Road.
I'd say this is probably my number 2, right up creeps in the witch house.
So yeah, at least there was that. But a master of horror, I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't know. It wasn't very shocking, you know?
Oh, really?
No.
Do you ever think you could become a supervillain just by shit that was readily available to inmates in a prison?
In a prison? Yeah. Issue, what is this? 50 what? 56. 46. Fuck, it would have been great if we'd have hit 50 on this episode. But yeah, Amazing Spider-Man's number 46. Old Stan and John.
Circling Johnny.
Introduce us to a new villain, the Shaka. Tell us a little bit about his powers, so to speak, Tom.
Well, in this one, the Shocker releases sonic ionic blasts or something that they keep referring to as tremors. So they probably should have just called him fucking Tremor, because that sounds better than Two in the Stink, One in the Pink guy. He wears a shitty pantyhose costume. His belt sucks. Fuck him. Yeah, I mean, what's there to say about the Shocker?
Not much, Tom.
He was able to make stuff that's just in prison. He was in prison. He got this little drill bit. And it's like, ooh, I'm going to hook this up to a belt sander, then blow a hole in the prison wall and escape.
Later, suckas.
So yeah, Spider-Man.
He gives Spider-Man's best fight he's had in several issues. He kicks.
Oh, he doesn't.
Yeah,
he has a fucked up arm. What's he gonna do? He's fucking fighting a retarded cripple man.
What the fuck? Spider-Man's out there fighting with one arm in a sling.
He has to.
Maybe that's good enough for a fucking lizard in a fucking lab coat. But if you're looking at this guy that just busted out of prison with a fucking sand belt, you know this guy's wobbly. Yeah. But at least he got pictures of that. He's able to get paid, get some money from J. Jonah Jerklin. Here we got a twist in the plot. Here's where things are starting to get a little modern. You know, that fucking Osborne kid. He sees Pete in the street and says, "Hey, Pete,
I'm getting moved into my one bedroom apartment with me."
Yeah. It's like,
I've got a queen size bed.
He wants to fuck Peter Parker, right?
Peter's just, I'm a pussy hound.
He's like, yeah,
bitch is dancing over there.
My dad just set me up in this apartment. Why don't you come live with me? Yeah, well, I gotta talk it over with my Aunt May, but yeah, man, I'm all about it.
All about it. It's gonna start wearing Reeboks.
So they mentioned here that Flash Thompson got drafted. Didn't they say a few issues back that he enlisted? Like,
hey,
he would...
Come on. Sometimes it just happens.
But, yeah, they're about to throw a party for him to go off to Vietnam.
At the ice cream shop.
Yeah, and go and kill children. And then Spider-Man meets the Shocker again, beats him up. All you had to do was disable his Shocker gloves, and you can kick his ass. But it works out, because...
What you have to do is dismantle his prison-made accoutrements.
While Peter's going to go move in with Harry Osborn's, Aunt May's going to go move in with Miss Watson next door and do her lesbian thing. And Peter says...
Red velvet cake.
Yeah, you can sell the house, Aunt May, and live for a couple of years, worry-free. Why don't you rent that shit? What the fuck, man? That's giving your aunt some bad advice. You claim to love her, you son of a bitch. He's no fucking hero.
At least we don't have a shitty cock of a sucker villain next week.
We'll get to that.
Well, Joe, this whole year, all I've been hearing is, man, this year sucks. These movies fucking suck. What the fuck? Why aren't there any fucking good movies? So I hope you got a good long list for our worst movies of the year, Joe.
I don't, Tom. I've got 8 on my list.
What?
So if you've got 10, why don't you start at 10?
I've got 15.
Showing
and
you.
An honorable mention that just barely didn't make it.
Go ahead, I'll join you at 8.
So the honorable mention that barely didn't make it, or that didn't make it, but I'm going to mention it anyways, is the movie about Pepe the Frog, the documentary called Feels Good, Man. They didn't focus on how, like, you know, some people just take it as this funny thing with no political agenda to it. They just think it's a funny thing.
Is this the frog that's crying and all the memes? Oh, yeah. I couldn't see it from way back.
You can't see it either, but Lori got me a hat with Pepe on it for Christmas.
Oh, that's nice. That was thoughtful. Almost as good as a basketball, but, you know.
Ooh, baby. Honorable mentions. I have one that came out very early in the year before the coronavirus. You're not going to sneak away that easy. Starring Terry Crews and the rapper known as Ludacris. So it's a story about a steel-driving man, Joe. Story of John Henry.
Oh, Henry.
And then I have the Polonia not-so-classic Return to Splatter Farm. Fuck you. And then I have a movie I watched half of and turned off at the Houston Horror Film Fest. I think this won some award, which it should not have. And that is Straight Edge Kegger. Fuck you. And then I have a Russian movie that I turned off halfway because it was all style and no substance. This was on a lot of people's best of the year lists. And to that, I say, fuck you. Why won't you just die? Fuck you. And then I have a movie I watched recently that Margaret Cho was the only funny thing in it. And when that shit happens,
yep,
it's a big fuck you. And that movie is called Faith-Based. Fuck you. Now to the actual list. Number 10. Very nice. I like. Fuck you, Borat 2. Now this is always going to be like, oh yeah, it's no, the original Borat, that one was funny. Or yeah, the original Borat's funny, but that second one fucking sucks. Or you'll be an asshole, and it'll be in your best of the year list, which I've seen a few people have, which is fucked, and I don't think they know what comedy is. Number 9. The H.P. Love The H.P. Iconoclast classic of a remake, Castle Freak. Fuck you.
Number eight.
And you have one?
I do.
Great.
Frankie and His Pals, the movie that everybody rushed out and crashed Severn's site to buy. Fuck you, this movie's a piece of shit.
Agreed. My number 8 was a mess of a fucking movie, and I bet WB is very happy the coronavirus came around, so they said, oh no, we're not going to release it in theaters, we're going to do you guys a solid and release it at home. Since theaters aren't open right now, we'll just do the VOD shit so you can watch it and enjoy it at home. Unfortunately, not too many people gave a fuck, because a couple people saw it and said, oh boy, well this sucks a dick, and it pains me to put this on the list. But my number 8 is Scoob. Fuck you! Number 7.
They Come Knocking. Oh yeah, this is a movie about where the guy takes his kids to do something with his mom's ashes, and some black-eyed kids come around, and it's not fucking thrilling at all. They Come Knocking. Who gives a fuck? Don't answer the door.
My number 7 is one that I also watched during the Houston Horror Film Fest, and it was the movie Arctic. Hey, Arctic, fuck you! Number 6.
Blood Vessel. The Shudder original that everybody... Oh, yeah, it's, the costumes look shit. The acting is shit. I didn't get past 20 minutes. It's just absolute shit. Fuck you, Shudder.
My number 6 has a very appropriate name. And that name is Barney Berman's Wild Boar. Some of the pigs look cool. Besides that, fuck you! Not really. She made some cool shit before, but that movie, what the fuck? Number 5.
The Vast of Night. This movie is so far up its own ass, and all you people saying, oh no, it's great because it's like a radio play. You know what? If it was a radio play...
This is a fucking radio.
Right, this is a fucking movie, and it sucks.
Is this the one with the little nerd bitch and the microphone?
Yes. Nerd bitch, the microphone, the Buddy Holly wannabe, and the fucking radio station. And there's some alien spaceship at the end. Big fucking deal. Oh, it's like a radio play. It's so fucking... Fuck you. Like, you listen to a lot of radio plays? Like, you're fucking sitting around listening to The Shadow all the time? Get the fuck out of here.
What are we, number 5? Well, my number 5, everybody rushed out to buy, and it crashed the Severn's website. And then we watched it and gave them a piece of our mind. Frankie and his pals, fuck you! Number 4. There's so many people out there that Severn could be releasing their movies for the same amount of money, if not cheaper. But they don't. They release shit like this. While independent filmmakers that have a halfway decent movie on their hands kill themselves. Shameful, Severin. Shameful. You have the power to change it. You have the power to save lives. But do you? No.
You have the touch!
You just put out this rubbish like Frankie and his pals make. Number 4.
The Borat sequel. I'm not even going to do his voices. I'm so fucking... pissed at this movie.
Come on, like, just do his voice.
You know, at the time that this came out, I really could have used the laugh. Sacha Baron, whatever the fuck. You let me down, dude. You fucking let me down. This movie's a piece of shit. Fuck you, Sacha Baron, whatever the fuck.
Just do the voice, come on.
No, I'm not gonna do it. Number 3.
My number 4. is the Blair Witch with Hunters movie with a cameo by Dog the Bounty Hunter called Hunter's Creed. Turned it off. Couldn't even finish it. Hunter's Creed, fuck you! Number 3. Number 3, brah.
Vivarium. Vivarium. Yeah, this is another one that fucking, like, intellectual movie people are saying, oh, you need to look at the subtle... No, you don't. It's not fucking good. It's not entertaining. It's just a fucking annoying... just fucking piece of shit. Fuck it. I'm fucking pissed at that movie still.
My number 3 is also one that the quote, intellectual movie people say, oh, you have to watch it and get the subtext. No, I don't. Because this is the story of the world's dumbest bitch. Swallow, fuck you! Number 2.
Movie I forgot came out this year, but once I remembered, it had to hit that number 2 spot. My Truth. The fucking Corey Feldman capitalizing on his fucking so-called buddy's death. Still... and then not fucking really telling you shit in the whole thing. Had a good time, though, because Tom and I and probably a bunch of other assholes stayed up all night waiting for that shit to fucking stream. And it didn't, because it got hacked by the Wolfpack or some shit.
Woo! Don't turn back.
Fuck you, Corey Feldman.
My number two was also a scam and a cash grab and a spitting in the face of a quote-unquote dead friend. Hey, how about we just dig him up and fuck his butt and put that on camera? That'll be fun. My truth, the gape of Corey. Fuck you!
Sad. Sad.
Fuck Corey Feldman. Number one.
Capone! God damn it, I sat through all this movie, and it's a long one. I just, like, they've spent a lot of money on this shit. There's gotta be at least one scene that's gonna blow me away, even if the rest of this sucks. That scene never came. This movie just, it fucking sucks. It's amazing how suck it is. Fuck you, Tom Hardy. You fucking can't fucking speak right, so you have to use some stupid accent and shit and everyone. Fuck you, dude.
Tales from the Hood 3. Fuck you! Fuck you.
I gotta give that movie a special fuck you because, you know, I'm selling it whenever I do shows now. The
so
few
number
times
nine?
I can. And it doesn't fucking sell. I've got it at $6 and everybody picks it up. Hey, I didn't know they did number three. And then they set it back down and walk away.
They're smart.
Yeah, they are. Smarter than me.
All right. Move on over to our best of the year, which isn't saying much.
Nope. Not this year.
Joe, honorable mentions.
I've got four of them. And in a regular year, none of these would have made honorable mention. But this year they do. One I just watched today, Midnight Sky. It's a George Clooney flick. Stars, he directs. This movie has some really cool shit in it. It's got one of the best spacewalk scenes. You know, like when they go outside of a... like a space station or a satellite hub and start doing shit out there. Shit looks really, really good, but it just doesn't have enough to make the whole movie good. I mean, it's worth a watch, but it's just like, yeah, I'm going to forget about this movie. Somebody's going to say, hey, did you see Midnight Sky? Well, what's that one? With George Clooney? No, is this like a crime flick? No, it's...
with the vampire?
Yeah, no, it's the one in space and, like, you know, the world's end. Oh, okay, yeah, I remember that. That's all right. It's like, that would make my honorable mentions for 2020. Then I have Most Wanted, which we talked about last week. Worth one watch. It's, you know, about the kid that got fucking framed, kinda, by those Canadian police, because we know they're all corrupt. Pretty good. Go listen to last week's episode if you want to hear more about this. I'm not going to repeat myself, you fucks. Then I have VFW, the movie that really wants to pay tribute to John Carpenter. It's got some cool shit in there, but not enough cool shit to make a top 10. And again, it only makes this list because this year is what this year is. Then I have Birds of Prey, which surprisingly makes my list because, you know, I don't really like these comic book DC Marvel movies. This one had some scenes that I just really liked that I thought, man, that shit's cool, but not cool enough for a top 10. Those are my honorable mentions.
Palm Springs almost made my list. However, Spontaneous, the movie about the exploding lesbian couple, just barely beat it out. Or beat it off, however you want to phrase that. And then I have the Vince Vaughn movie Freaky, only because I'm a Vince Vaughn fan. And then I have The New Mutants, because I popped when she turned into magic and said, oh, I'm magic too, and I don't even give a fuck about the character. And I went, woo, get him, ho, bitch. And then I have Fat Man, the Mel Gibson movie where he's a dark and edgy Santa Claus. It was okay, But it's 2020. And then I have Black Bear. If I'm going to suggest one movie to watch actors act this year, it'll be Black Bear. But if you don't give a fuck about that, then don't watch it. Number 10.
Hold up. Since you mentioned Vince Vaughn, I remembered a movie that I did watch, kinda. My dad had it playing while I was doing some shit. Vince Vaughn, I don't know, this is a movie in World War II, and there's a pacifist, and he saves a lot of people's lives on Heartbreak Ridge or some fucking hill the Japanese had.
Blueberry Hill.
Yeah. And, like, he's just dragging people off, but he's a pacifist. Everybody thought he was a pussy. Everyone considered him coward of army. But he saved a lot of lives, and it's based on a true story. And it's bloody, and Vince Vaughn, he fucking sucks. Number 10. My number 10 is Good Boy. Movie about a girl that gets a dog, and that dog protects her by turning it into a big other dog that kills people. And I like dogs. This movie, good movie, good boy.
I don't think it turns into a big other dog, does it?
Turns into some kind of wolf kind of thing.
Does it?
Yeah.
I don't remember it changing into anything.
Yeah, at the end. It doesn't stay like a little fucking Jack Russell the whole time.
I'll believe you, I guess. You obviously liked it more than me.
Number 10.
Well, my number 10 is a movie near and dear to your heart. And that is Inmate Number 1, the Danny Trejo story. Viva La Raza.
You have to put out a cookbook or something.
Hey. Can't wait in a week or two when we bring that segment back with the novelty cookbooks. But we'll get to that unless you stop at our Facebook page and then you'll see. Oh, damn! They are. I just said my own name. Number 9.
Vampires versus Bronx. Yeah, this was good, you know? It's number 9. It's kids fighting vampires in the Bronx, you know?
Go back and listen to our episode about vampires versus Bronx. I don't think Joe liked it.
Number 9, Vampires versus Bronx.
Well, my number 9 is also a movie that is near and dear to your heart. And that is Butt Boy. It's a movie about a guy, instead of murdering people, he sticks them in his anals, and then they live up there until a rough and tumble cop gets to the bottom of the situation. But boy, number 8.
The Lodge. One of the few movies I saw in the theater this year. I thought I went and saw this by myself. Lisa asked me, like, hey, what's on your list? And I told her, and she goes, no, I saw that with you in the theater. It's like, well, sounds like something I'd go see by myself, because you wouldn't like this shit at all. She goes, no, I just wanted popcorn, so I went with you.
Because fuck our microwaves.
Yeah. I like this movie, you know. I like when bad shit happens in a horror movie, because that's what horror is supposed to be. It's supposed to be bad shit happening from fucking beginning to end. You shouldn't walk out of a horror movie like, yeah, that was fun. No, fuck that. Horror comedy is comedy. It's not horror. The Lodge.
My number 8 is the buddy cop classic. That you'll probably like because it's a Netflix movie. Not many other people liked it, though. And that is Coffee and Kareem. Boy, did I have some good laughs with this one.
I like coffee.
You like cream, too. Number 7.
Sea Fever. Okay, this movie's a ripoff of The Thing. but I like The Thing. If The Thing came out this year, it'd be on my number one. You know what? I'm going to put it on my number. Hold on a second. This is good. It's The Thing at Sea. Give it a shot. If you just fucking watch it, you say, oh, it's a ripoff of The Thing. Fuck you. The Thing's a remake anyway.
Don't look at me like that. My number seven is the DC classic, The Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One, Harley Quinzel. Not a DC fan, definitely not a fucking Harley Quinn fan, but this had some fun shit in it. The set decoration and the fucking sets and shit they made, especially when they get to that funhouse place, was fucking awesome. And then her going on a murderous rampage all blown up was sweet too.
Fuck yeah, that Margot Robbie. Sure can't fucking play a good Harley Quinn.
We'll get to her again. Number six.
Palm Springs. Yep, fucking Groundhog Day done right. I like this one.
Yeah. Should have been number five.
Because, like, think about it. Like, if you were stuck in a day, you know, over and over, Tom, what would you do? You'd go to the shop every fucking day. You know, you wouldn't even notice that the day was repeating, right? No. You'd just be going, like, oh, you know, I'm making the same mask, but wait, I'm making 100 of these anyway. So, like, it would take you, like, 100 days to notice, maybe.
But I'd learn, and each one would get a little better.
Maybe.
It would.
Yeah, I liked it, man. It's a fucking good movie. I recommend it to all of you. Don't listen to Tom. Palm Springs is good.
No, it's very average.
Very, very good. For my top 10 list, it's in the middle.
Well, my number 8 of the worst, Scoob, brought great shame that I had to put that on the list. Luckily, my number 6 for the best of the year brought it up some, and that's Happy Halloween, Scooby-Doo, co-starring Bill Nye and your boy Elvira. I had some good laughs. I haven't had this fun with a Scooby-Doo movie since The Ghoul School.
Why the fuck with Bill Nye in there? Is he even relevant? Do kids know who the fuck
no,
he is?
No, but he's made him a new mystery machine, so fuck it.
Oh, he's a mechanic?
I guess. He's a science man.
Oh, shit. Sounds like my fucking car raiders have better find me a scientist.
I'm gonna plug up Velma's anals with my dicks. Yep. Number 5.
Lucky Grandma. Yeah, this is a good, sweet movie about a grandma that stumbles upon some money, gets embroiled with the mob. This was a surprisingly good movie. I like it, man. This would be on my list even if it wasn't 2020. Give it a shot.
I was going to, and then I looked at the trailer and I was like, nah.
Nah, you won't.
Not after what they did to us this year.
Nah, he ain't got no heart.
Well, my number 5 is the H.P. Lovecraft classic, Underwater, starring M&M's and T.J. Miller.
Fuck, that movie sucked.
Oh, it should have been on the other list then. Seems like you don't know how to do this, but that's okay. Joe, what's your number 4?
Mucho, mucho amor. The Walter Mercado story, the feel-good documentary of the year. God damn, I would tell you to watch this, Tom, but you don't like feeling good. Fuck, man, this is a good one.
I loved him in Behind the Candelabra.
I haven't seen it.
My number 4 is the feel-good classic of the winter, even though it came out in the summer, and that is Killer Raccoons 2, Dark Christmas in the Dark. Oh boy, is this a fun and a funny one. They didn't have a lot of money, but what they did have the money on, they spent it on taxidermy raccoons and filled in the gaps with laughter. And little machine guns for the raccoons. It was good.
I guess so, you're giggling like a little kid.
It is. Highly recommended. This is going to be in rotation every year around Christmas.
I thought I was going to get to watch it today because I was flipping through Amazons.
Then you had to pay for it and you were like, ooh, fuck this.
No, it was like Zombies, Zombievers or something too. I don't know. So, I didn't watch that, obviously. Okay.
Number 3.
The Old Guard. The best comic book adaptation in quite a while. This shit, I was expecting, let's pass the time, watch this. Fuck yeah, man, this is badass. The action's good. Charlize Theron always looks good. It's the best comic adaptation in a while, like I said already. And I'll say it again, it's the best comic adaptation in quite a while.
Well, my number 3 is also the best comic adaptation in a while. The Old Guard, the Netflix original movie. Just kidding. It's Bullets of Justice, the pig movie from Kazakh. Pop, 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 pop. With the guns, I kill the pig. Good stuff. Reminds me a lot of Planet Terror. Only they have way less money, and they all talk like Borat. It's good shit. It's no wild boar, I'll tell you that. Number 2.
Possessor. A Brandon Cronenberg film about a woman that takes over other people's skins so she can become an assassin. But this time, the person that she's taking over her skin, he's fighting back. He's trying to regain her thing, but it turns out she just wants to kill her husband and kid. She does. Spoiler alert. She says, fuck, man, I don't want to be a mom. I want to kill my kid and keep being an assassin. And that's what she does at the end. It's fucking great. Because who doesn't feel like that at some point?
I could have swore you talked about this movie a couple weeks ago and said it sucks. And you said I turned it off because I couldn't watch any more of it.
No, that wasn't me. But
it wasn't me because I didn't watch the shit.
Go back last episode, listen, and see
no,
if
I
it
think
said
it was
that.
A couple episodes before it last.
No, because I just bought the DVD last week.
No, but I think there was something very close to this. That you were just like, yeah, it fucking sucks. And I said, well, what the fuck movie is this? Oh, this is Possessor.
Yeah, maybe it was a movie with the same plot.
I think you drink too much.
I think you drink too much. I think you're sniffing too much of that paint.
The paint's non-toxic and water-based, so I wouldn't worry about that. My number 1 and 2, it was hard to... Hey, so just so everybody knows, Joe got up to get more beer, of course. He's not even going to remember recording this now. Anyways, my number 2 is a movie that was supposed to come out last year, but it had too much crazy hubbubaloo about it. And then it came out this year for a week and the coronavirus happened and movie theaters got shut down. But that's okay. It found a place on my list. Number 2. Because it's the shit. It's not just the shit, but it's fucking great. And that is The Hunt, starring Betty Gilpin and her shitty name. Joe, I would tell you to watch this, but you hate women, so don't watch this. Number 1.
Defy Bloods. Yep. At the beginning of the year, this was a movie that dropped on Netflix. Spike Lee. You know, it's about some guys that go back to retrieve their buddy's body from Vietnam to give him proper burial in the good old U.S. of A. But it turns out they're after much more than that. Man, this is a fucking good movie. It's my number 1 movie. I would tell you to watch this, but you hate blacks. And, man, it's fucking good.
Yeah, I was going to watch it, but I just don't give a fuck about
it. I know you don't give a fuck about blacks, so that's why I say you won't like it, dude, because, like, there's blacks in it, a lot of them, you know, that's... And when there's not blacks, there's Vietnamese in it, and that's, like, your second...
Fuck your noodles!
That's your second most hated race. Y'all gonna put anything in this fucking dirt water? You call this soup? Yeah, I think it's great. And if you, like me, have tolerance for other races, I think you will like this as well. Tom, nah, he won't like it, ever.
Yeah, it was, I'm not a fan. I was gonna rewatch, or not rewatch it, but watch it, but I'm not a fan of war movies, and this shit was like 8 hours long. I looked at the runtime, and I was like, oh no.
Yeah, well worth
Netflix. That's
he did
not
better. Funny. He did better with that runtime than Scorsese did with that Irishman movie.
You didn't watch that shit either.
Oh, that sucked. That sucked.
But wasn't that your boy Jim Norton, Don Rickles in it?
Did that come out this year?
I came out on the Criterion Collection this year.
Oh, so you'll get it.
No, I won't. Not until they have their next sale, that is.
I'll let you know. I'll tag you in their post.
Well, my number one...
Slow and low is tempo.
Well, my number one, I think this was... And maybe in the first quarter, the beginning of the second quarter. Direct to DVD. I forget if this was New Zealand, Australian, or British. I don't know. But it's got your boy, Harley Quinn, in it. And that is Guns Akimbo, the story of a grown Harry Potter. I like this movie, like, the whole year, ever since I seen it. The image of What's-Her-Nuts. What's Samara Weaving with a fucking Coke dollar hanging out of her fucking nose and just blasting a gun? I was just like, that's fucking cool. I don't know what it is, but that shit's fucking cool, and that image just stuck with me. So, Guns Akimbo, it was a fucking fun time. I wouldn't suggest you, because again, you hate women, so don't watch it, Joe. And you hate gay men. So don't watch it for Harry Potter. Allegedly. But yeah, it was good, fun shit. Very nice, I like.
So next Tom, week we're coming into the new year. Are there any films you're looking forward to that we know may be coming out?
Mortal Kombat? Godzilla
did you get that
versus
PS5
King Kong.
To play Mortal Kombat, or do they have it on the PS4 too?
It's on PS4.
Alright, you playing it?
When it first came out, when they released Spawn, I played for like an hour, but I don't have time for that shit.
Wait, when the fuck did it come out?
Last year maybe?
Oh.
They've been doing like updates and shit to it.
Oh, they're doing like special additions to the games, or? Oh, okay, alright.
So we got Mortal Kombat and King Kong versus Godzilla, but those are both WWE movies, WB movies.
The Rock's going to fight them both.
So those are just getting released to home anyways. So I'll watch those, but Antlers, that was supposed to release this year. Maybe it'll release next year, we'll see. There was some trailer I didn't watch, but Bob Odenkirk has a new movie in it. When that one comes closer, I'll watch the trailer and see if I'll dig into that one or not. But
Death Wish type thing, right?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it. I said, Bob Odenkirk, new movie, watch the trailer. I was like, what is that one, really?
Will Morbius be coming out?
Yeah, I don't give a fuck about Morbius. I don't give a fuck about Black Widow. I don't give a fuck about the Eternals. I can't think of any other movies that are coming out. Maybe Halloween, but then, whatever. I don't really give a fuck. I think they have a new Chainsaw coming out, and whatever. chainsaw movies, we got to do those for a pile of shit fuck one time, because those suck. But yeah, I off the top of my head, I think it's just those three. How about you?
Now, like Antlers, yeah, that seems interesting.
Yeah, and what that photo, right?
I do want to see what they do with Morbius. I think that would have probably done well on the theater. If it's going to be one of these released to VOD, it's going to be, or to fucking HBO Max, it's going to be dog shit. Dune, I'm curious to see what they do, but I don't have much hopes for it.
I think I heard that's getting put on VOD too.
Yeah, so I'll watch that for sure, but, you know, because I like that story, but nah, they're not going to do good. It's too big a story. It's too complex. They've never done it, you know, justice, so. Yeah, and then, like, a lot of this shit they announced, I've already forgotten. It's like, hey, yeah, we got this movie. What? All right. Sure you do.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what we missed this year, and it's like, I don't miss shit. No, I used to be the dude who's like, oh, I went to the movies, blah, blah, blah. I don't give a fuck. I got a projector. I got some speakers hooked up to it. I am good. And I got a microwave to make popcorn, too. So
next week, we're entering into a new year. So our top 10 list will be movies with the word new in the title.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, again, thank you to Jason for having us these past 6 years on the Horrorphilia Podcast Network. It was very fun. I mean, it's not going to change. I hope we're still going to have fun. But, I mean, that was very nice of you to do that, and I don't think you get the credit you deserve. And just thank you. I do really appreciate that. That was real cool of you. And thanks for liking Race War the Remake. That's how I found out about the Horrorphilia Podcast Network. You gave it a 7.5 review, so I said, all right, I hit you up and said, hey, you like my movie, can I do a podcast? And you said, sure, probably thinking, oh yeah, we got this guy who makes movies coming on, he's going to bring people into the pop. But hey, you took a chance and you fucked up and failed, but that's okay.
No, we did have Joe Grisolfi on the show one time.
Don't talk about that time he raped that girl. Basically. But, hey, Chris from the Conspire Theory Podcast, thanks for listening, bud. You know, that Goldilocks motherfucker might be talking about recently, but you're the real MVP, Chris. You and your great Conspire a Theory podcast that everybody should subscribe and listen to. You're the real MVP, dog. You're the real MVP. Mike the Mick, you're always liking our posts on the page. You're the only one, and you never get any love.
Yeah.
If you would say some shit to us instead of just liking stuff, then we'll talk about you more. Kick that motherfucker Kyle in the balls. We'll talk about you more. But thank
Let's hear
you for
it, MC.
This.
Let's hear it, MC.
I'm just going with Mick because it sounds more offensive. But Mr. Mick, thank you. Kyle, fuck you. Howard, Mr. Wexner, thank you for coming on and having that interview with us. Sure, we're not fans. But I think we got a good interview with you, and your legacy will be out there for people who want to hear it. We actually respected, and we didn't act like a bunch of jagoffs. So,
well, yeah, we did that one straight. Sure, you didn't work on most of the Julie K. Smith movies, but hey, thanks for coming on.
And you didn't sell that softcore gay porno that Chris was talking about, but that's okay. And Tom Devlin, thank you for facilitating that interview. David Gregory, my son, thank you for coming on and letting us have a little fun at your expense while talking about Frankie and his pals and your company in general. We do appreciate it, and you're a good sport.
Both of our worst lists this year.
Well, it does suck. I like you. You're a good dude. Unfortunately, the movies you put out, not a fan of. The Masked Wrestler one was good. It was okay. I think I still have that one. But let's you get out some more independent movies. Dig up some more stuff like that Frankie, but only better, that people are dying to have out there. And I'll start saying, God damn, look at all this he's doing for the community. Give this man an Oscar. Not like an Oscar statue, but a guy who lives in a garbage can just to help out around the office.
Or a pack of Oscar Mayer with a long neck.
But yes, Dave, you are a good man, and thank you. I appreciate you taking the time to do the interview with us. Yep, that's all I got on my little. Make sure to thank these people for the thing.
Yeah,
hey, Joe, thank you.
I didn't make a list like that because it sounds like you're doing like a fucking suicide note, Dom. Like, yeah, it's like I'm gonna thank everybody. And then
Severin didn't put any of my movies out.
I go kill myself. All right, later, folks.
No, but it is an end of an era. Like we started on the horrorphilia. It was 6 years. That's a long time.
You did. You started.
And now it's gone.
Who did you start this podcast with?
Me.
No, you had a co-host.
No, Danny and I had a podcast before this for three episodes, but he just didn't give a fuck. So it was, all right, I'm going to keep going because this is something I want to do.
So it was you and Danny, and then it was you. And then you called me and said, hey, you want to be a sponsor?
I didn't say you want to be a sponsor. That was just the only way we can fucking keep the same name, because Jason was like, well, we'll have to start a new feed with a new name, which would have been smart.
Right.
But no. Yeah. But thank you for coming on. I think this has helped us grow more as friends, for sure, since we talk to us every week. If we didn't do this, I don't think we would have been as close, quote-unquote, friends as we are.
Yeah. But no, yeah. I'm glad to do it, like, sometimes, you know? It's like, other times, it's like, hey, man, fuck, you know? Let's put it off a day, you know? I just want to fucking lay here on the couch, and, you know.
Wonders why Severin didn't put my movie out.
I just want to watch some independent movies, because that's all the rage. But, yeah, it's good times. People
and
like
I just want to thank Tom for making all the images and editing all this.
You know, even though
he doesn't get enough credit as he deserves, I think.
The one with the basketball was pretty good. Or the one with the fucking telephone poles was pretty good.
Well, hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thanks to the Horrorphilia Podcast Network. And just remember, new episodes are going to keep going up at boygob.com.
That's boygob.
BOYGOB.com.
Boygob.
A long December, and there's reason to believe maybe this year will be better than last. I can't remember the last thing that you said as you were leaving. But the days go by so fast, and it's one more day up in the canyon, and it's one more night in Hollywood. That I could be forgiven, saw a lot of oysters, but no pearls. All at once she looked across a crowded room to see the way that light attaches to a girl. Then it's one more day up in the canyons, and it's one more night in Hollywood. Don't you think you might come to California? Think you should. Na 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 na. Talked a little while about the year. I guess the winter makes you laugh a little slower, makes you talk a little lower about the thing you could not show her. And it's been a long December, and there's reason to believe maybe this year will be better than. Can't remember all the times I tried to tell myself to hold on to these moments as they pass. And it's one more day up in the canyon, and it's one more night in Hollywood. So long since I've seen the ocean, I guess I should.